You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Man, it is great to worship together. That was a special way to start our Sunday with one another. So grateful, thankful that you're here with us this morning. I want to take a minute to welcome everyone on the live stream as well. We know many of you are tuning in, worshiping with us, and tuning in online to our service. Grateful that you're with us this morning as well. If we've never met before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard, and it is an exciting day to be in church. It's exciting because around Fort Collins in northern Colorado, there's all kinds of graduations happening and families are getting together to celebrate. But it's exciting to be in the church today because we're celebrating a special Christian day. We're wrapping up this series called Kingdom Expectations. And today, this special Christian day that I'm referring to is called Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is a holy day. And it's okay if you don't really know what Pentecost means. It's not nearly as popular as Christmas or Easter, but Pentecost is special because 50 days after Easter, God's Holy Spirit was poured out to the early church and the first followers of Christ, and it changed human history forever. It's a special day because before Pentecost, when you read stories in the Old Testament, God's Spirit was only poured out on a handful of people for a certain amount of time, and it was kind of localized here and there. But with the promise and the fulfillment of Pentecost, God's Spirit was poured out on all flesh. God's Spirit was poured out for all of us. Now we have personal access to encountering God. He promises to dwell within us. And as we gather together, we can both individually but also collectively experience the Spirit and power of God together. And some churches and some traditions, obviously they make a bigger deal of Pentecost than others, depending on their tradition or maybe history of their movement and where they're coming from. But we at the Vineyard, this is a special day for us because we are people of the Spirit. Our church is a church of the Spirit. We believe that Jesus is alive, that his Spirit is among us, that God is present to us in a real and tangible way. We're not talking about only what God used to do. We still believe that he wants to move among us today, that we can experience the supernatural because God is still filling and empowering his people today. When we pray, come, Holy Spirit, it's not a prayer because we somehow don't think God isn't already here, like in an omnipresent or a universal way. Of course he is. We believe that he's always among us. When we pray, come Holy Spirit, we're asking him to come and move in a unique kind of way, to move among us in a tangible way that we can experience and that in a way that would transform us from the inside out. A number of years ago on Mother's Day, there was a Jesus Movement hippie who stood up in front of a Calvary Chapel church in Yorba Linda, California, to share his testimony. And at the end of his testimony, he prayed this prayer, come Holy Spirit. And nothing short of a revival broke out that day amongst those people. And it took the Vineyard movement by storm. And this small collection of church leaders and church members experienced the power of God's Spirit and exploded with influence and impact because of what God was doing in their midst. The guy who prayed that prayer, he had a checkered past and had his own struggles, but his name was Lonnie Frisbee. Now, Hollywood has done a number on our imaginations, and if you're like me, if you've ever seen The Chosen or the newest movie, Jesus Revolution, you know that the actor plays the same character of Jesus and Lonnie Frisbee. And I don't know what to do with that, because now when I close my eyes and I read the gospel stories, is it Jesus or is it Lonnie? Is it Lonnie or is it Jesus? I've got issues that I've got to work through, and I don't know. That guy, I guess he's just typecasted for the rest of his life to, like, play Christian believers. If you haven't seen The Chosen or if you haven't seen Jesus Revolution, I think they're both worth your time. And although the movie Jesus Revolution, it's not designed necessarily to tell the vineyard's origin story, it does have a lot of overlap. It does have a lot of overlap. And this phrase, come Holy Spirit, is definitely part of our history. It's part of our history. But of course, it's not just our history. It's not just the vineyard's DNA. This prayer is an ancient prayer, and it goes back to the promise of Pentecost. It goes back to the very promises of Jesus himself. In Acts 1:8, this is how Jesus talked about the coming promise of his Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. Now, this is a great promise for us. It's a great promise because, as Bristow mentioned earlier, and I will confess before you in the same way, I feel quite powerless most of the time in my life. And even when I do sense an extra measure of courage or power or strength in my own self, I realize pretty quickly that I'm running up against a wall. And I need something and someone outside of myself to fill me and empower me and embolden me to make it through the day, to help follow God with all that I can. If I want to be any kind of witness to the world around me that is in desperate need of God, I have to be tapped in to God's Holy Spirit power. And what's really interesting right now in our culture is that people will do almost anything for power these days. They'll do almost anything for power. And people who are around all of us, they're all desperate for a real power encounter in terms of spiritual activity. No matter the source, people, the interest is growing all around us to have experiences in the supernatural. Natalie and I have friends. I'm sure many of you have people in your life as well who will do all kinds of things for a spiritual experience. We've even had people invite us to a psychic fair locally to get readings about our future. It was kind of comical because I thought to myself, man, well, comical and a little depressing. Like, what makes you think we don't ask God for that kind of information? What makes you think the church doesn't gather seeking God in that kind of way? But we do. We absolutely do. And so naturally, right, we can't help ourselves. We shared the gospel with them. We shared the loving story of Jesus Christ with them. And all of our kids were playing out front, so we actually used chalk to draw out the gospel story on our driveway. So we testified to the whole neighborhood, anyone who was going for a walk. People are desperate. People truly are desperate for a spiritual encounter. But here's the thing. Most of what the world has to offer you will cost you all kinds of money because you've got to pay a so-called expert in order to hear or get that information. But the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power and the promise of the Holy Spirit is a free gift of God to you. It did cost a whole lot. It cost Jesus Christ his life. When he died on the cross, and scriptures teach us that when you surrender your life to Jesus and you choose to place your faith and your life into his arms, the promise of Acts 1:8 is yours, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That promise can be yours today. If you're here this morning or you're tuning in maybe online and you've never given your life to Christ, did you know that when you give your life to Christ, you are promised a life filled with God's power, that Jesus will not only accept you and forgive you, adopt you into his own family, but he'll place his very spirit inside of you, helping you to follow him from this day forward. If you've never given your life to Christ, by the end of our service this morning, we're going to invite you to make that decision. And with that decision, we're going to ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit power, that he'll give you an experience with his spirit this morning. Pentecost is a special day. It's a special day for the followers of Christ. And I just want to read through the story a little bit more this morning. I read the promise in Acts 1:8, but I want to read the fulfillment of that promise, the very first time God's spirit was poured out on the early church, because it's in the very next chapter, and it is filled with incredible language. It's a little bit of a longer text, 13 verses, so hang with me as I work my way through this, but listen to what happened to the church when the spirit was first poured out. Acts 2, verses 1 to 13. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard that loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs." And yes, you can bet that I listened to that this morning to get all of those correct. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, plot turn, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." What a fascinating way to close up this little paragraph. They're just drunk. They've had too much to drink. That's what's happening. I mean, there are a dozen ways to teach through this passage. It's a beautiful passage. It's a beautiful passage. There's so many ways you can teach it, not to mention the fact, like, think about this cultural setting of all of these different nations and languages and ethnicities coming together and hearing the wonderful things God has done in their own native language under one unifying message, the message of Christ. This is a beautiful thing. But this morning on this Pentecost Sunday, as we wrap up this series called Kingdom Expectations, what I want to emphasize this morning is how meeting with God is uniquely experiential. How meeting with God is experiential for your walk with the Lord. All the language in Acts 2, it's all encounter language. People saw something. They heard something. They felt something. This encounter with the Lord was so strong that people were running towards this commotion from all around the city. The commotion was so big that people, it says they were bewildered. I love that word to explain what was happening in their hearts. They were bewildered at what they were experiencing, and others, they had no grid for it whatsoever, so they just blamed it all on the booze. Right? Now, I know you're all good church folks and you woke up early Sunday morning, so you probably have no idea what that looks like. You have no idea what it looks like to see someone who's drunk. So let me just inform you, this was a bizarre occurrence. It was a bizarre occurrence. This outpouring was so strange and so powerful, so unique, that certain outlookers blamed it on too much wine because they had no other grid to explain what was happening to the people of God. And I think we have to be careful to not read this passage so quickly that we get lost in the words, right? Allow the scripture to really marinate in your mind and in your heart. It's okay to get caught up in the language of this passage. The outpouring of God's Spirit was uniquely spiritual and profoundly experiential. Verse 2, one more time, just to remind you, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house they were sitting, where they were sitting. I mean, this is a literal sound. And you can tell that Luke, the author of Acts, he's trying kind of his best to find words to explain it. And there's not a perfect example out there. So he's just taking this spiritual experience and he's trying to add concrete language to it so that we can wrap our minds around what they were experiencing. He says, it's a sound from heaven, but it was like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. The roaring of a mighty windstorm. Now, if you've ever hiked a mountain, like really high, maybe a 14er. You've hiked really high. You know what that feels like. Maybe just drive to Wyoming. You'll experience it. We've got some Wyoming friends in the church today. So listen, just go to Wyoming. You'll feel the Pentecost experience. No, when you hike a mountain, you get really high. You know what I'm talking about. The wind is so strong that it's pushing your body. It's up against your skin. You have to like shelter yourself behind maybe a man-made pile of rocks. You have to speak loudly and open your mouth and try to read lips to communicate on top of the mountain. Because the wind is so strong, like a mighty windstorm. This is what the early believers were experiencing. And there are times in Scripture, of course, this is the little qualifier for you, where God shows up in a gentle breeze, where God shows up in the still small voice. That is very much true. But this is not that. This is something wholly different than that. This is the roaring and mighty windstorm, the very power of God filling that place where they were meeting. Then in verse 3, it says, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Again, Luke, he's struggling to find the words to exactly describe what was happening. You can kind of intuitively sense he's searching for the right words. He says there's flames. Or tongues of fire, and they're like settling on the people. And then it says very clearly, though, that the Spirit filled everyone who was there. And they were given this unique ability to speak in other languages. Now, right now, in this part of the text, this is where some churches, they would like to spend a lot of time debating what this looked like, or more often, what it sounded like. Was it syllables that were just kind of running together and the miracle was happening in the interpretation of those syllables, people hearing their own languages? Or did the Holy Spirit actually get poured out and give people the gift to speak languages that weren't their native tongues? I have my opinion on this. It would be a really fun debate for another day. I enjoy debating, if you don't know that about me. But for this morning, what I'd rather do is I'd rather focus on the experience that people were having with the Holy Spirit compared to the arguments behind maybe the theology we could debate. Let's focus on the Spirit this morning because it's Pentecost. People heard something. They felt something. They saw spiritual things happening, and it grabbed people's attention. People started running towards the commotion. It was so outside of their understanding of normal Jewish or religious rituals and traditions that they were either bewildered or they blamed it on the closest thing they could think of, which was drunkenness. They had no real grid for how to explain what was happening. And this morning, I just want to encourage your faith. I want to encourage your faith that these kinds of encounters still happen today. I want to encourage your faith to come back tonight, as Bristow said, to our Come Holy Spirit night. Because experiences and encounters with God, they're seen, they're felt, they're experienced. And you can expect to have a personal and a collective encounter with God. You can expect encounters, and it's a good thing to desire them. It is a good thing to desire them. Because I know that personal encounters with the Lord, they change everything. Personal encounters with the Lord change everything. One of my biggest prayers for you is that you will have a personal experience with the living God. As a staff, we pray that you'll encounter the Lord. We pray for your children to experience God. We invite people to national conferences. We invite people to nights like Come Holy Spirit in hopes of creating a spiritual community and creating a space where we can all pursue encountering the Lord together. We build our Sundays around this value. And there are a number of values that go into building our Sundays together, but one of them is that you will have personal experiences with the living God when we meet. Because we know real encounters with the living God change everything. Heaven is drawing near to you. Heaven is drawing near to you. The Spirit of God is drawing close. You know, so many of us, we read these pages. We read these pages, we read these stories, or maybe they've been taught to us. And the main takeaway from some of these readings is that the Bible teaches us to kind of hold on until we can escape earth and go to heaven. But when you actually read the scriptures and you read the story of Christ and you read the story of what God is doing in and through his people, that's not the primary story. It's a good story. It's even a great one, and God is significantly interested in saving you for heaven someday. But the primary story that we see is this loving God invading earth to redeem all things. Heaven coming to earth, not just us escaping earth to go to heaven. In the Old Testament, God would occasionally break into earth and show people his nature and his character, his love and his power. Of course, in the life of Jesus Christ, God came to us in human flesh. At Pentecost, God poured out his spirit on all flesh, on earth as it is in heaven. So God is breaking in time and time again. And the promise for us is that we can still expect these kinds of encounters today. We can expect God to break into our life, to break into our pain, to break into our experiences, to break into our weakness, to break into our life because he's interested in transforming all things. Many of you have heard parts of my testimony and parts of my story of coming to faith and being called into ministry. I won't share my whole testimony this morning, but I can tell you that the first time I truly encountered the power of God, it left me a radically changed man. Radically changed. Like we read about in the book of Acts, it was something I felt, something I heard and sensed and experienced. It was something so undeniable and so powerful that years later, as I doubt myself or I press in for healing and maybe don't experience it the way I want to or wonder if I'm on the right track, I can look back at those encounters and say, well, I know God showed up then and I know he'll show up again in the future. I know because of that time I experienced him, I'm going to be okay today. When I first experienced the power of God, it set me free from a bondage and a darkness and the weight of sin that was so present in my life. I honestly didn't know how to live any other way. I had carried that darkness and I had carried that weight around for so long. It's like we became friends. And I just got used to living under that weight and that oppression. But when the Spirit of God filled me and fell upon me, I experienced freedom. I was truly set free. The weight was lifted off of me. The darkness was cleared. And for the first time, I could see my life with clarity. And I could experience the love and the forgiveness and the acceptance and the mercy of Jesus Christ. The power of God was so tangible and so real. The freedom I experienced was so life-giving. It felt like I was filled with helium in a room filled with oxygen, and I was just floating to the ceiling. Now, to be very clear, so you don't think I'm some kind of transcendental meditation expert, I wasn't actually floating. I was very much on the ground. But like Luke in the book of Acts, I've had a hard time finding the words to perfectly explain what I experienced, and the best thing I've landed on is what happens when you fill a balloon with helium. It's all of a sudden lighter than the atmosphere around it, and it just lifts up. That's what I felt in my life. Like all of a sudden, I was just lifted up from this weight of sin and this dark depression and even oppression. And I can still get bogged down. I can sometimes still feel the weight of the world, the weight of my own mistakes. But I've been filled with the Spirit, which helps me live free, which helps me live above it all, like I'm floating in this otherwise heavy world, because the Spirit of the living God lives within me. And this is what I want for you. Your experiences with God, they'll be similar to mine, but they'll also be very different than mine. But I do pray that you'll experience the power of God, and I pray that you'll experience it frequently in your life. I mean, I want this for my children. I want it for yours. I love teaching my kids about theology. We just had a great conversation about the hypostatic union in our hallway just a couple of weeks ago. These are the kinds of things that we like to talk about. I like talking about intellectual and academic things with my 12, 10, and almost 8-year-old. I enjoy that. But the more facts they have, it's not going to settle what happened in Acts 2. What I really want for them is I want them to have a personal encounter with the living God that will transform their life from this day on. That when they run into arguments and when they run into things that they can't quite understand, they can land back on a personal encounter and say, yeah, but I know that. And that was real. And that's now the lens in which I interpret the rest of my worldview, because the Spirit of the living God is alive and dwells within me. I think one of the most important questions that we have to ask, it's a question that you have to ask for yourself. It's a question you have to answer for yourself. I can't answer it for you. But it's a question that has to be asked. The question is simply, how hungry are you for an encounter with God's Holy Spirit? I'm going to assume that you're at least somewhat hungry. Otherwise, you'd be sleeping right now. You're at least somewhat hungry or you wouldn't be here. Maybe you follow Jesus. Maybe you've never started. Maybe you've experienced God, but it was like years ago, or maybe you've watched other people experience God and it seemed a little weird, and so you dismissed it and you distanced yourself from that kind of Christian faith. I'm not sure where you're at this morning, but I'm assuming that at least part of you is interested in a real encounter with the loving God who wants to break into your life today. The question is, how hungry are you? Do you want just enough so that you can escape earth and get to heaven someday? Or are you willing to say, God, I want everything that you have for me. I want all of heaven to invade my life. I want to be so filled that it's like I'm floating in this otherwise heavy world. Because if that's in your heart, God's promise is true for you this morning. 2,000 years ago, God poured out his Spirit at Pentecost. And now because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, Pentecost is our promise. Every Sunday and every day of your life following God can be a day where you expect to encounter the Lord. It won't all come with roaring winds and blazing fires. It won't all be as grandiose as we read about in Acts 2, but you can walk with God's Spirit and you can encounter the living God on a regular basis. If you're hungry for something like that, then I would encourage you to pray this ancient but contemporary prayer with me, a prayer that God loves to answer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In my life, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my city, in this church, on earth as it is in heaven, come, Holy Spirit. Let's pray together.